It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It is the preparation day, the day where we prepare for the Holy Sabbath of the Lord at sunset. It will be Sabbath. For the Bible says at even, that means evening, when the sun did set. So the evening and the morning was the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day. You'll read that in Genesis chapter 1. It's time for our opening prayer at this time. And we will just actually kneel for prayer, or I'll kneel for prayer, so that we can move forward. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for this beautiful day. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be with us, and we thank you for each participant who has come. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord will truly abide with us, and that you will use us, Lord, to glorify your name. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, God is good. We are at this time going to have our opening song. That is, It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
yeah.
Our topic today is the children of Israel leave Egypt. Children of Israel leaving Egypt at this time, and we're studying Exodus chapter 13. Let us pray. Gracious Father, as we open the precious Bible, we pray that you will speak to us. We thank you so much for the love that you have, for leading us and guiding us, and we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, God is good. We will be studying Exodus 13 at this time, and the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," now let's get the context for those of you who might not have been following us. The children of Israel have now left Egypt after all the plagues, including the plague of the firstborn, where every household had their firstborn taken away in death because the death angel didn't pass over. And what a wonderful blessing it is for us to have Christ covering us, that death, which is the wages of sin, will pass over us. It's a beautiful concept. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man, of man and beast, it is mine." So what he's basically encouraging Moses to do, or the children of Israel to do, is to dedicate the firstborn to the Lord. Everything we see God do points to Jesus. It points to our Savior. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if God would give his Son to save us, surely that which was firstborn would be dedicated to God. And Moses said unto the people, "Remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." Brothers and sisters, when God delivers you from something, we should have memorials. We should remember. Because if we don't remember, sometimes we'll be hard on other people who might still be caught up in some of the same things we were caught up in. We tend to love the fact that we are forgiven, but not always want to forgive others, my friends. We need to remember the deliverance that God has wrought. "This day came ye out in the month Abib, and it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto your fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast of the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters." Now, we already read a scripture yesterday that talked about the leaven of malice, that they were to give up the leaven of malice. So in one sense, it has different meanings, but leaven can represent sin. And so God is trying to deliver us from sin, and therefore the blood of Jesus, which that's what the Passover represented, would be the great deliverance from sin. For Jesus lived a holy life so that he can show by his example that we can too, because he could not use his divinity to overcome Satan. He could only use what we have available to us. And then he died for all of our past sins, my brothers and sisters. So we have his example of a holy life, and we have his death that pardons us from the past. Oh, what a blessing. "Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leaven be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth." Now, brothers and sisters, this is very interesting because I want you to know that the key to understanding Bible prophecy is the Bible itself. And sometimes you have to go all the way back to the Old Testament. You see, the purpose of, I'll read it again. It says, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. Now, God had not given his Ten Commandment law, but this just shows that the law always existed, brothers and sisters. Now, what we understand, if you go to the book of Revelation, the end of time will not happen until the world is forced to receive a mark in their hand and their forehead. Well, that's what's between your eyes. It's not talking about the bridge of your nose. It's talking about your forehead, okay, a little bit above the eye, but it's between the eyes, okay? And that is dealing with God's law, my brothers and sisters. And so the hand is how we eat, okay? The hand is how we, you know, the Bible speaks of the right hand. In other words, we work with our hands, okay? And then the forehead, however, is where we make decisions of right and wrong, okay? And so some people will receive the mark in their right hand. That means whatever the mark of the beast is, they will know that it's wrong to receive, but because they don't want to lose their money, their house, their job, their livelihood, they will give in order to keep that which was provided by the right hand. There will be others who are willfully deceived, meaning that they rejected truth day by day, moment by moment. And so when it comes as a final test, they've been so used to compromising that they will actually be deceived into thinking, well, God doesn't really require all that, you see. So very important that we understand this concept. When the Bible speaks of the hand, and what's between the eyes, which it's the forehead included. I mean, the forehead is between the eyes. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about the bridge of your nose. God is trying to tell us that it has something to do with his law, my friends. And so when you go to the book of Revelation and you read that it's the mark of the beast, and you understand the beast is the Roman Catholic Church, and that they tell you what their mark is. They say, quote, Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible, and the transference of the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday is proof of that fact. Do you believe that, my friend? Do you believe that the day that was the day that the sun god worshipers worshiped is the day, true day of worship? Is that what you believe, my friend? If not, then you should be keeping the Sabbath day, friends, and that's the day that you should worship on. The Roman Catholic Church imbibed paganism. It brought pagans into the church. And in order to do that, because they wanted the pagans' money, they changed God's principles of his religion. And but you can't really change them. They were in apostasy. And so they changed the day of worship. They brought in a lot of pagan practices and took the gods of the sun worshipers and just turned them into the saints, supposedly. Jupiter became Peter and other things that they did. They claimed that Peter was the first pope. Peter was not the first pope. Peter did not allow Cornelius to bow down to him. When Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, he was talking about him. He had just asked Peter, whom do men say that I am, and who do you say that I am? He said, I am the Christ. He said, I'm going to change your name to Peter, which means pebble. But when he said upon this rock, that's a rock like a big rock, a cornerstone. That would be the interpretation of that word in Greek. And so, my friends, there's so many things that Rome has brought in. They have brought in tradition and supplanted the word of God. God wants us to stand on the platform of truth, my friends. And so I'm here to tell you that if you are lost in the last days and you're alive, it will be because you received the mark in your right hand. You didn't have the courage to to say, Lord, I'll give up my income. I'll give up my bank account because they're going to take it away, friends. There will be no earthly support for those who stand true to God. Do you have the courage to do that, friends? We have inklings of how this happened in the past. We see the slavery and where people were just dragged from their homes and could have nothing, didn't even own their own time, so to speak, and their own labor. We've seen that. Man has done major atrocities. We see the Holocaust and all the property of the Jews confiscated by Adolf Hitler and his Third Reich. We've seen many atrocities that have happened, brothers and sisters. And the Bible says the love of many shall wax cold. That means it's getting worse and worse. I'm here to tell you it's not going to be a cakewalk, but I'm telling you that's why God wants us to have faith today. I recognize that if I am faithful, I will lose everything except my faith in God. And I won't have cars to drive. I won't have eventually houses that I own to live in or whatever, or a house to live in. Brothers and sisters, that's going to be the devil's last stand, so he's going to pour on the persecution. And that's why it's important that we be faithful today, because if we're not faithful today, we will not stand when those times come. We won't have the courage to stand. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least will be unjust in much. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 12:5, if thou run with the footmen and they weary thee, how shalt thou contend with horses? And if in times of peace they weary thee, how shalt thou stand in the swelling of the Jordan? So it's today, my friends. Give your heart to God today. And you don't have to worry about what you're going to do when bad things happen in the future. Just live for him today. Did you know that the courage to be a martyr is not given until it's needed? That means that the courage to stand and say, I'll die for Jesus, that courage is not given until you need it. But if you don't have the courage to do what God has said today, maybe somebody's in a relationship you ought not be in, and you don't want to walk away from that relationship. Maybe you're on a job that's killing you, and you can't follow the health message, but you could get another job. May not pay as much, but you'd be able to follow God. Friends, we have to have the courage to do what is right. Reading on, and it shall be for a sign unto thee, and upon thy hand for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be that when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Verse 17, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent, and they see war, and they returned to Egypt. We need to spend a little time on this verse, my brothers and sisters. Let me say something to you. The God that you serve will not allow temptations to come to you that you cannot bear. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so, my brothers and my sisters, God will make a way of escape. God looks at your life. He understands the delicateness of our frame. And when the devil wants to tempt us with something, that God previews it first. And he only allows to come to us what we in our frame, depending on him, could overcome. Everybody can't handle the same temptation. And so it's a beautiful concept. The Bible says in, I forgot where it's found. I'll find it. But it says, I think it's Proverbs 104:13, I believe it is. I'll look it up. Let me just look it up. It says, God knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Okay? And that is found in Psalms 103:14. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Okay? All right. Now this is trying to. Okay, there we go. So I just want to remind you that even though you're going through some things, even if some of the things we're talking about are troublous to you and present temptations, because if you're called to follow God, you might not be following him the way that God wants you to, and he's wanting to bring you higher. But I am here to tell you, it just takes a surrender. Remember, we learned surrender is the easiest, hardest thing you've ever done. What is it? It's the easiest, hardest thing you have ever done. Why is it easy? Because all you have to do is surrender. Why is it hard? Because you have to surrender, okay? And so we have things in our lives and preferences and urges and desires and comfort levels that we have developed, and some of which are not in harmony with God's perfect will for your life. And would not be the principle of that thing would not be done in heaven. If the principle of a thing you're doing, brothers and sisters, would not be done in heaven, we should not do it here on the earth, okay? So the principle of it, I say it that way because we're not going to drive cars in heaven, so should we drive cars down here? You follow what I'm saying? You see how somebody can take that, and if I don't say it right, they could get a little fanatical. We're going to be transported. That's the principle of it. You know, we're going to go where God would have us go, so it's okay to drive a car. Now, you wouldn't drive a car to the club just to spend time at the club because there won't be clubs in heaven. So the principle of guilt is that you wouldn't go where there is unnecessarily where there is evil, okay? All right, so God is good. All right, let's get back to, I just wanted to share that God would not allow temptation to come that you cannot handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So when the temptation, it could be the temptation to eat too much cake. It could be a temptation to eat the flesh of dead animals. It could be if God has told you not to. And I say it that way because he did allow flesh to be eaten. But it is not healthy. It was not his original plan. And with our weakened bodies after almost 6,000 years of sin, we should not eat it if we want to remain healthy, brothers and sisters. Now, certain things like pork, that was actually sinful. It was wrong, the unclean animals. But as you grow closer to God, he will tell you, I don't want you to eat meat anymore. Therefore, anything God says to you personally, if you go against it, it's sin. It's a sin for me to eat a McDonald's hamburger because God told me I understand too much and I'm a health teacher and I know what meat does to the body. So that conviction may not come to everybody or everybody at the same time. But I'm here to tell you, even though it's beef, it's a clean meat, so to speak, it would not be what God would have me to do because he has clearly shown me that I am to be an example of what I teach. So it would be, if I go and do it, Satan will pull me to do that, okay? So that's how temptation works. But guess what? There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes the temptation gets stronger and stronger because we ignore the ways to escape. We like those velvet tones through in which he or she is talking to us, and as they're flattering us of our handsomeness and beauty, it sounds good. And the Holy Spirit says, get off that call or get away at this present time. But, you know, we like the velvet tones. We like all that we're seeing and hearing. And so we just let temptation get closer and closer, and we just don't take the way of escape. Then when it becomes overmastering, we say, Lord, you didn't help me. No, he helped you. He gave you a way. You just didn't take it. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness, the Red Sea. See, if they had gone straight to Canaan, which was only an 11-day journey, they would have had to be a war. They would have had to have been involved in war. They weren't ready for that. They weren't ready, their faith, so God didn't lead them that way. You know, that's a beautiful song, and we need to recognize that God does lead us, and he doesn't lead everybody the same way. That doesn't mean we don't. Some people can say, well, he's leading you to do right, but he's not leading me to do right. That's not what that means. It just means in your rightness, he gives certain, he takes some on a journey where maybe they have more temptations, less temptations. Some people can't handle blessings. They would not dedicate those things to the Lord, and so God can't bless them. Some people are just of a timid nature, and God will lead them on gently because of that nature. So God knew the children of Israel weren't ready to go fight the Philistines and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Amalekites. They weren't ready for all those ites. So he had to take them where they had to learn that when they needed water, he would be there. When they needed food, he would pour it down from heaven. You see, God was gentle, and that's how he is. There's a beautiful song. It goes like this. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. The next two verses say, Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur, nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since is my God that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. Friends, God leads us. And this verse that we have just read, showing that he did not lead the children of Israel through the warlike areas first, they had to build up their faith, shows the loving, tender care of our God and how he individually leads us. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. We're not all made up the same way. That's your frame. And we have not all gone through the same thing. That's our dust. God looks at our frame and our dust, and then he previews what you can handle with his help. And that's the temptations that he has. That never will he leave you into sin. Don't let this be he doesn't excuse sin. But as you're walking in the path of righteousness and keeping his law and being obedient, we don't go all through the same experiences, okay? It says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. If we look at them, we will see the tokens of God's leadership in our lives, if we have eyes to see. All right, my friends, let's pray. Father, thank you for being so tender, so loving, so kind. We see great things, marvelous things, great plagues, but yet we see tender care. So we pray that you would help us to understand that you love us with an everlasting love, and that you would help us to respond also by loving you. We pray that everyone will be strengthened to follow the convictions of the Holy Spirit, and we just leave everyone and even ourselves in your loving hands. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, my brothers and sisters, it's time for transition. We will be back in about 8 minutes with the topic that Sister Lenny will be sharing with us. And that topic is entitled Temperance and Self-Control. So after our torso song, that's the next voice you will hear.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to torso of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason. Sundixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're a up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
We'll now hear from Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Temperance and self-control. The carefulness with which the mother should guard her habits of life is taught in the scriptures. When the Lord would raise up Samson as a deliverer of Israel, the angel of Jehovah appeared to the mother with special instruction concerning her habits and also for the treatment of her child. Beware, he said, and now drink no wine, no strong drink. neither eat any unclean thing. The effect of prenatal influences is by many parents looked upon as a matter of little moment, but heaven does not so regard it. The message sent by an angel of God and twice given in the most solemn manner shows it to be deserving of our most careful thought. In the words spoken to the Hebrew mother, God speaks to all mothers in every age. Let her beware, the angel said. All that I commanded her, let her observe. The well-being of the child will be affected by the habits of the mother. Her appetites and passions are to be controlled by principle. There is something for her to shun, something for her to work against if she fulfills God's promise, purpose for her life in giving her a child. If before the birth of her child she is self-indulgent, if she is selfish, impatient, and exacting, these traits will be reflected in the disposition of the child. Thus, many children have received as a birthright almost unconquerable tendencies to evil. But if the mother unswervingly adheres to right principles, if she is temperate and self-denying, if she is kind, gentle, and unselfish, she may give her child these same precious traits of character. Very explicit was the command prohibiting the use of wine by the mother. Every drop of strong drink taken by her to gratify appetite endangers the physical, mental, and moral health of her child and is a direct sin against her Creator. Many advisors urge that every wish of the mother should be gratified, that if she desires any article of food, however harmful, she should freely indulge her appetite. Such advice is false and mischievous. The mother's physical needs should in no case be neglected. Two lives are depending upon her, and her wishes should be tenderly regarded. Her needs generously supplied, but at this time, above all others, she should avoid, in diet and in every other line, whatever would lessen physical or mental strength. By the command of God Himself, she is placed under the most solemn obligation to exercise self-control. This morning's reading is coming from the Ministry of Healing, page 156. Thank you so much, and may we all be blessed and learn self-control and temperance. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's time for us to have roll call, and we will start with Facebook. We have a dear brother, and I'm not sure where he's from. I forgot. We've got dear brother Carl. We've got South Carolina. We've got North Carolina on the line. We've got Virginia on the call, and we have Michigan. On the actual phone call, we have, I'll start from the other end. We have Georgia. We have, I'm going to have to look this up because I actually forgot the state. I think I know what it is. Okay, yes. So we've got Michigan on the line. We've got Oklahoma, sorry. We have Iowa. We have Ohio. We have thinking that is Oklahoma again. We have some new people that have started recently coming. We welcome you. And yes, that's Oklahoma. We have Delaware again. And we have Maryland, we have Pennsylvania, we have Alabama, we have Ohio, and Ohio again, and we're also your servants here in Pennsylvania. So nice variety of participants. We have on Facebook a good morning to us at Happy Preparation Day from Brother Peyton. We have Happy Preparation Day from Sister Salita. And on the call, if there's anyone that would like to share anything, press star 6. at this time. Star 6, and we have about 14, 15 minutes to the top of the hour. We'd love to engage with you if you have any comments or questions. Now, on tomorrow, we will have morning worship, and we will also have our church service at 12. So you're welcome to join us for church service. I want to mention to you that there is a plan to launch a training school that will be the same training school that people can get online, but it will be taught live starting in August. And the first lesson is a free lesson, and it's less expensive than it will eventually be. So if you want to take advantage of a certification as a wellness coach, please contact me and I'll give you more information. It will be Sunday classes starting in late August for the most part, going into November, so it will be totally done. You'll be certified before Thanksgiving Day, something to be thankful for. All right, we've got two callers on the line. We'll take our first call at this time, and that's going to be our mother in Israel. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor and Sister Maria and everyone else on the line. I thank you for your advice and using it, and I also have an appointment on next Wednesday with my PCP.
Okay. All right. And praise God.
And also, I think it's a good advice to all people. Whatever spirit of prophecy books you have, hold on to them. Keep them very close to your chest, because after a while you're going to have the privilege of touching a few keys and getting information.
Mm. All right.
So never forsake the old from the new. We never know when it's going to happen. Because
amen.
Of the plans that are out there, we never know when they're going to be implemented.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sis. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to take our next one. She's also a mother in Israel. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
I am interested in the course.
Okay. I'll give you a call afterwards, okay?
Okay. And I also have a question. I'm really having problems with my sleep. If I go to sleep early between 8 and 10, I seem to wake up around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and can't get back to sleep again. And
okay. Now, let me just say this, Sister. You know, if you go to bed at 8, and you wake up 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. That's 6 hours of sleep. That may be all the sleep that your body needs. Because the hours before midnight are twice as effective as the hours after midnight. I can tell you that a large part of my time when I'm able to be productive, if I'm working on a project, sometimes God wakes me up at 2 or 3 in the morning. And that's when I get a lot of work done. I'm not saying that you don't need more rest. The question would be, how do you feel during the day? Do you feel just exhausted after that? Or are you feeling fine, but you just think you should have more sleep?
Good point. So I need to get out of bed and really do something, study my Sabbath school lesson or...
Yeah, but, I mean, you may not have to necessarily get out of bed. You may meditate on the Lord, sit up in bed and read, you know. I don't know how you do what you do and your habits, and I'm not telling you you need to say that to us on the broadcast. But sometimes God wakes me up and I'm just praying, you know, praying and meditating. That's all I'm saying. If you go to bed at 8, 9, and you get up at, you know, 2, and sometimes as we get, you know, in our golden years, we don't necessarily need to sleep as long, but that doesn't mean we might not take a nap during the day, you know. But the point is that if you're, when you don't have enough sleep, you're just lagging, dragging, exhausted, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So if you're not going through that, you might be kind of developing a normal cycle of sleep, but that's better than you going to bed really, really late. Because then your body, yeah, you might wake up at 5 or 6 in the morning after that, but you lost the ability to, you lost the ability to really have the most, the best sleep that you need.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
All right, I'll reach out to you a little later. God bless you. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything? I do believe I got a text also, and I got you on that. I hear you loud and clear. Someone let me know that they're interested in the class. So I'll definitely reach out to you. All right, then. There is no one else. We'll give just another moment if there is. Our topic tomorrow for church, the sermon title is Fraud Upon the Court. Fraud Upon the Court. It's a message you don't want to miss, and we look forward to sharing that with you. All right, my brothers and sisters, it is at this time for us to close out. I will ask my lovely wife, Undreamed Of, if she would close us out in prayer at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to be able to have an opportunity to open up your word and to be able to learn. We pray, Lord, that as we go about on this day of preparation, that your spirit will continue to guide us, leading, instructing. Help us, Lord, to be able to stay faithful to you, to be able to get done and accomplish many things as we prepare for your holy Sabbath. We ask that you will bless every heart in a special way. We pray for special healings to be granted to each one, especially those in need. Bless us and heal us spiritually, mentally, and physically, Lord. And we ask that you will continue to help us, Lord, in deliverance of those intimate petitions that we only keep between ourselves and you. We ask that you will work out every single thing in accordance with your perfect will for each life. And we pray for families that are in need of relationship building. We pray for the young people of this world and all the things that they're having to experience and go through. We pray for the elderly, Lord, that may be alone and that are feeling at times loneliness and deep separation from families and friends. And we just ask that you would bring comfort, send your angels to accompany everyone, every soul that needs help. We thank you for hearing our prayer on this day, where these things are asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. Happy Preparation Day, and God bless you.
Amen. Closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will.